I can hear the first bell. It seems like I'd never hear the second bell. I'm going to move that down a little bit. So if you're in the back where you can hear the second bell and I keep talking at the end of the class, raise your hand and I'll know I need to wrap it up. If you're visiting with us, this quarter, the elders are teaching this class on Christian stewardship. And we've moved through several topics already. It's my turn to teach tonight, so you get me. We've moved through several topics already. We've discussed attitudes that we should have toward giving and our stewardship. We've discussed giving in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, we've talked about things from the standpoint of it's not just the financial contribution that we have. It's more than that. But tonight we're going to focus a little bit more on the financial side of it. But before we do that, let's begin our class with prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this class that we have tonight, the time that we have to study your word and to glean what we can from it to strengthen us as Christians and to help us to be better servants of yours. Father, we thank you for the classes that are occurring in this building, for the teachers who are teaching those classes, for the preparation that they have done so that they can teach the classes. And we pray that each of the learners in the class will gain a great deal from that and that we'll learn from each other and that we may be able to be better servants of yours. Father, we thank you for the gifts that you have given us. We pray that we will be able to use those to further your kingdom and that we will be able to do the work that will have you be pleased in us. We thank you for your love for us and especially for Jesus. And it's his name that we pray. Amen. Okay, so I have a question to start with, and we're going to be talking about giving of our financial means. What kinds of attitudes do people in the church sometimes exhibit when you talk about giving? None of your business. It's none of your business. Let's be frank. We've heard these as people. What are people's attitudes in the church toward this idea of giving of our financial means? Edna? Okay, so somebody's attitude could be, I'll give you some money, but don't ask for anything else. Okay, yeah, Bill?
There's plenty of well-off people. I don't have to give because they are.
Okay, other people can give because, they have more than I have, and so they can give, and I don't need to be making that contribution.
Sometimes they kind of forget to
whom. Oh, and how would that be, Gene? They forget who they're giving this to? Where do they think they're giving that money to? Okay, and so sometimes the attitude is, if they're not doing what I think they need to be doing with those funds, then I'm not going to give. And then the question becomes, are you giving to God? Are you giving to the congregation or that church organization, whatever that is, in their minds? Are you giving it to the elders? We certainly aren't. You aren't giving it to the elders in this case. But and of course, people need to know that the money is going toward furthering the kingdom. There's no question about that. But that's, do you ever run into situations, I wish they wouldn't discuss this. I wish they wouldn't talk about money so much. And oftentimes, I've heard that before in places where, it may have been the first sermon in 5 years. that you'd heard about giving. And it seems like when it comes out, I wish they wouldn't talk about that so much. And as a result of that, in many places, we avoid talking about this. We don't talk about giving. And in many places, they don't teach. People get defensive. And it's almost like, well, you know, they can't tell me how much to give when that's not really the intent. The intent is really, as we talked about in the first class, is we need to tell people how to give. Then the amount will take care of itself. And, well, tonight, the topic is tithing. And I don't think you could teach a quarter on Christian stewardship without having some kind of a lesson on tithing. But the question comes up from some people when you start talking about tithing is, why do we need to study that? Because we're not under a commandment to tithe. So why is it important for us to study this topic if we aren't commanded to tithe? Paul? Okay, so there's a difference between the old law and the new law, and the old law was basically, you know, why do we have the Old Testament? For our learning. It's what does that tell us? I mean, do we not study anything else related to in the Old Testament? That we look at the Old Testament and we say that's our guide to how God is thinking. You know what God is thinking. If you open the books in the Old Testament, you actually see in many the mind of God and how what he's thinking about different things. He talked about sin, yeah, but he also talked about giving, and he talked about a lot of other things as well through the prophets and through the patriarchs. So there is a reason to study this because it gives us some kind of an insight into what God thinks about how we should give. Now, definitely there are differences now in the New Testament church as opposed to the law of Moses, and we'll look at those as well. The whole idea of this class is really to look at tithing and when it began, when it ended, and the fact that where we should be now as far as giving is concerned. So, question, is there a difference between a tithe and a tenth? Well, it could be. Yeah, okay. Well, some of the Bible scholars will say that the actual tithe under the old law was about 22%. Not it wasn't actually 10%. It was about 22%. When you add up all of the things that they had to sacrifice over the years, that it ended up being about 22%. But we always think about a tenth. Well, the reason I ask that question is because there's also some debate about when tithing began. And some people will argue that tithing began with Adam, and that was that from that point on. And some will say no, it began with the law of Moses. So let's look at those and those situations. If you took the position that tithing began with Adam, or has always been with us, if you look at that argument. probably depends on what you consider your definition of tithing to be. If you look at the Adam argument, is what I'll call it, for lack of a better term, I guess, then those people who would say that we've always had tithing, it began with Adam, they would refer to before things that happened before the law of Moses came into being. And the first mention of tithing, if Strong's is correct anyway, the first mention of tithing was in the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 14. And, well, it was actually in verse 20. But, Genesis 14, 20. Let me set the stage for that and how it came about. Abraham and Lot were living in Canaan, what would later become Canaan anyway, the Palestine area. Lot was living in Sodom at the time. And this king from Edom, which I'm not going to try to pronounce his name, but decided to make war on the kings of Sodom and several other countries. And in that process, Lot was taken captive. And so Lot was, Abraham went to Lot's rescue. And I think with 318 people, I think is it gave, defeated the king of Edom and got Lot back and rescued Lot. On the way back, on his return visit, he ran into Melchizedek, who Genesis in chapter 14 describes as the king of Salem. That's verse 18. And Melchizedek went out to greet Abraham and brought him food and drinks for his people. He brought bread and wine and says he was the priest of God Most High. And verse 20, someone have that so they'll read for us? Okay, so Melchizedek said, "Blessed be your God," and he was blessed. He said, "Blessed be the God Most High," which he was talking about Abraham's God. And so Abraham turned around and gave him a tenth of all. The all was what they had, the spoils of the war. They had gotten a lot of things in the war, so they were taking that back, and so he gave them a tenth of that. So, some translations just translate that as one tenth instead of a tithe, by the way. And so, doesn't really matter whether you translate it as a tenth or a tithe. He was not commanded to do that. That was not one of the commands. It was a free will offering. It was one tenth of the spoils. Yeah, Jack? Okay, yeah, some translations do say just a tenth. Some of them say the New King James calls it a tithe. I believe the King James calls it a tithe. And it may be more accurately translated as the tenth. Okay, if a tithe under the law of Moses was a tithe of everything, a tenth of everything. This was just a tenth of what he'd gotten from the victory. So if you're arguing that this wasn't really a tithe here, this was just a free will offering, that there are some arguments that that's the case. So that's one of the situations where you find the word tithe mentioned, whether it really was a tithe or not. You have to decide, I guess, what that means. It doesn't fit the category of what Moses would call a tithe. Second time that you, yeah, Paul? Okay, yeah, Cain and Abel, that's another argument there that was before that. It wasn't mentioned as a tithe. The reason I started with Abraham and Melchizedek was because they actually called that a tithe in there. The situation with Cain and Abel, we don't read in Genesis why God was not pleased with that offering. We just read that he was not pleased. And it could have been because it wasn't enough. That could be the reason it was. The Genesis isn't real clear about whether why. It could have been because it wasn't a blood offering. Because he gave of grain and Abel gave of the livestock that he raised. So we don't know. That was a sacrifice, though, that they made, and he wasn't pleased with it. We don't know for sure. It could have been because it wasn't the amount that God had specified that he should give. Yeah, it could be. And he didn't say necessarily, but obviously one of the things that we do know is God instructed him how to give, or else he wouldn't have been displeased. Now, I like to stay with the things that I can really back up with scriptures. And so I would say there's no question that God was not pleased with Cain's sacrifice, whether it was because it wasn't a tenth or whatever. We don't know that. We can't really say that's what it is. But some people have suggested that's the reason. I guess that's probably supposition for those folks. Jacob also vowed to give a tenth of all of his possessions to God. He did that after he woke up from his dream where he saw the angels ascending and descending on the ladder, what we call Jacob's ladder. That's in Genesis 28. So God made that promise, the same promise to Jacob that he made to Abraham about the promise of his that he would be that the Lord would come from that generation. Same type of promise that he made to Abraham, made to Jacob. And after that, Jacob said, "I'll give you a tenth of everything." And Jacob gave everything that he a tenth of all of his possessions. Again, a free will offering, because God didn't ask for that. He just gave that to him. So, if the people who would say that no, tithing really began with the law of Moses would also point out to the fact that we have many examples of sacrifices being given in the Old Testament before the law of Moses. And it was never called a tithe necessarily in those cases. So it's not necessarily always a sacrifice. So let's look at the law of Moses argument. People would say that tithing began with the law of Moses. And there's no question that there is a command there. It was a commandment, not a free will offering. It had a specific purpose. Let's turn to Numbers. The book of Numbers, chapter 18. If you go down to verse 20 and 21 of Numbers 18, this is Moses giving the law regarding how they are supposed to support the work in their worship. Okay, someone have that they would read for us? Okay, if you remember, when Israel went back into Canaan, when they finally got there, everybody, every tribe got a parcel of land. They were all given a portion of that land that they had overtaken, except the tribe of Levi. And God gave them no inheritance because their work was to support the worship. Their job was to support the worship. So the other tribes, their job was to do what? Support the Levites. So not only did we get the commandment that they would be tithing, but we also understand what the work was that they were supposed to support. So the tithe had a specific purpose. It also states in Numbers that, I don't have that one written down, but I didn't write it down, that it's to be the best tenth. That it's supposed to be the best that they have. The whole idea is that they had, in those days, remember, they had no king, they had no taxes, they had a theocracy. And so so the tithes were there to support that, the judges were the people that basically made the decisions there. But the Levites were the ones who handled the worship. Everybody else had something that they could earn a living from. The Levites didn't. And so that they could focus their attention on the worship services, God decreed that the rest of the tribes should support them. Does that sound familiar? You know, what does God tell us? He says, I'm the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, right? And so we see that same pattern even in the New Testament church, we are to support the worship services of the church. We support those who are working for God. So that was the command that we have. So we can see that there was definitely a command that they tithe. There was a specific purpose assigned to that. And what did God think about those who did not tithe? Malachi 3. Malachi 3. Verses 7 through 10. He's pretty plain there. Israel at that time was not sacrificing as they were supposed to. And even when they did, it was the worst. It was the leftovers, the things that they didn't want and were not useful to them at all. Not much of a sacrifice if all you're given is the things that you don't want. So if you look at 3:7-10, this is is condemnation to them. Yet from the days of your fathers you have gone away from my ordinance and you have not kept them. Return to me and I will return to you. So there's a promise there too. There's a promise of blessing if we follow God's will. I'll return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, in what way shall we return? Then the question, will a man rob God? Yet you've robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse, for you've robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing, there will not be room enough to receive it. The TV evangelists love this verse. I'm not very, I'm pretty critical sometimes of some TV evangelists, because the idea is that we will have a give in order to get mentality. That's what it seems that they are promoting in many cases, a give in order to get mentality. And that's not the basis for why we should be giving. And that's been very clearly brought out. So you know, we know that's not what God was intending. He was saying, if you follow me, I'm going to bless you in everything. You don't have to worry about it. So this whole idea of tithing, I think we can see what God thinks about tithing through the Old Testament. And does it matter really that much in our salvation, whether it began with Adam or whether it started with the law of Moses? Probably not. What we need to see is the picture that God set for us. We see the picture on how he feels about giving and the examples. You know, there's got to be a reason that the Old Testament, those scriptures, include those examples, isn't there? The example is because they're there for our learning. And, you know, he gave those examples for a reason. So we shouldn't ignore those as we think about, well, what should we do? We keep in mind also that tithes in the Old Testament was usually not money. They were whatever that they had, whether it was livestock, whether it was crops, or whatever that they had. The tithes was not necessarily money. But they did represent their livelihood, part of their livelihood. It should have been from their earnings. And that was and that's why some would argue that this gift that Abraham gave to Melchizedek was not really from his earnings. That was from the spoils of war. People who have been in war might say that they earned that if they won the victory. But still, the whole idea is that we look at the idea of what pleases God. And God gave us those examples in the Old Testament so that we could see the types of things that please him. And, you know, B.P. Black, who's a minister in Mississippi, used to say that he had never seen an example of giving in the Old Testament or in the Bible anywhere where God was pleased with less than 10%. Yeah, something to think about. He said, I don't see an example. Now, not saying that you have to give the 10%. It's just that we see the examples that we have. So when did tithing end? Was there tithing in the New Testament? Pardon? No? Okay. The question is, the answer to that question is a trick question. The answer to that question is what you consider the New Testament. When did the New Testament start? Did it start in Matthew or did it start at the cross? After Jesus, okay, if you take the literal definition of the covenant, the new covenant started with the death of Christ. But if you think about the Gospels as being part of the New Testament, then yes, we see tithing. When Jesus talked about tithing, was it positive? Never. Yes. So when Jesus talked about tithing, it was always in a kind of a condemnation of the scribe of the Pharisees, typically. And he talked about them paying real close attention to giving their tenth and then doing everything else. Someone suggested that was one of the complaints. I'll give the money, but don't ask me to do anything else. Yeah, Bill? Yeah. Yes. It should have been their best too. And usually it was the firstborn. So, no blind animals. In fact, that's what they were condemned for in Malachi. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Gives you more insight into how God feels about our giving as well. We need to give our best, not whatever's just left over, or what we don't need for something else, or we don't want to use for something else. We see tithing mentioned in the New Testament, but each time that it's mentioned, they're referring to the law of Moses. It's a reference to the law of Moses, and Jesus was not real positive when he talked about that. But I would say to you, tithing as a practice ended at the cross. And the command to tithe that you'll hear in some religious organizations now is just as wrong as saying we're commanded to sacrifice. We have a different law now. So it's just as wrong as the law that says that we're supposed to. If you look at Galatians 3, verses 24 to 25, it says the law is our schoolmaster. We're no longer under that schoolmaster. Galatians 3, 24 to 25. Romans 6, verse 14, says we're not under the law, but we're under grace. So these scriptures just prove that tithing ended with the New Testament church. So, do we have to give now? Of course. If the old law is our schoolmaster, and we are learning that what pleases God, then giving is part of that. Is it reasonable to think, for example, that for 4,000 years, he told the people when to give, how to give, what to give, and then all of a sudden, he's changed his mind and says, no, you don't have to give? That's just not even reasonable to consider that. Do Christians have to give if they don't want to? Well, they should want to, is what it comes down to. Are the reasons that Israel was commanded to give still in evidence today? Do we still have the same reasons to give? Bill? Okay. Do we have the worship to support the work of the church? Because that's what the Levites were actually doing. That's why they were given. They were given so they could support the work of what was then their version of the church. They were God's people. They had to support that. So we still have God's work to do. The Levites were doing God's work. All the other tribes were out busy doing the, raising food and all those kinds of things. The Levites were doing God's work. So we still have that reason. We also have a commandment from our Lord to give to support those who are needy. Didn't he tell you that, when I was hungry, you fed me? When I was naked, you clothed me? Those, that's a direct command from Jesus that we are to take care of those who are needy. 1 Corinthians 16. Let's look there. And we're going to have to move quickly. 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2. We read this sometimes before we take up the offering in Sunday mornings. Now, concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up, as he may prosper, that there be no collection when I come. Why were they collecting? They were collecting to support the needy in Jerusalem. So we see those commandments from God as well. 1 Timothy 6, verses 18 and 19. And I guess I had read this many times, but I just skipped right over it. First Timothy 6, verses 18 and 19. Let them do good that they be rich in good works, ready to give, and willing to share. Storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time comes that they may lay hold to eternal life. There's a condition there, it seems like. You know, that's part of what we do so that we can lay hold to eternal life. So, will we be pleasing to God if we don't do these things? I don't think we will. God set up an example in the Old Testament of tithing. If we love God, we go back to the earlier lessons. It's all about love. If we love God, will we do less than his example? The key is giving liberally, not out of necessity, but out of love. You know, I would suggest to you, God chose us as his people. He chose us for a purpose. Our purpose is to do his work here on this earth. It takes our time. Sometimes it takes our possessions. And, you know, we've talked about giving as if it's always money. Sometimes it's just, I'll give you something that I have. I may, you know, loan you a car for a while, or give you that to use for a while, or I may give you clothing or things like that. We're doing clothing drives and things like that. It's not always money. It may be things that we have. It takes time. It takes our possessions. It takes our money to do that work that we need to do. And I would also suggest to you, we have a much better covenant than they had in the law of Moses. They only had sins pushed away. Ours have been washed away. And that's a much better deal. If you're looking for the deal that you might be able to get out of this, it's a much better deal than having your sins just roll forward. We have our sins wiped away so that God doesn't even remember them anymore. Should we love God less than they did in the Old Testament? Give because you love God. It is a matter between you and God. So it's one of those things that that you and he will know. But it's also one of those things that he has an expectation. I think it's clear from reading through the scriptures, there is an expectation that we are to be able to support the work that he's asked us to do. And I guess, finally, he knows if you're giving liberally. You aren't going to fool anybody. We want you to do what God wants you to do. You know, as from an elder standpoint, all of you need to be pleasing to God. We want everyone to be pleasing to God. So, and that's the reason that we're studying this lesson on stewardship, how we manage what we have. We've been given a lot of gifts, a lot of blessings. We need to be thankful for it. And it's not a give in order to get mentality. It's a give because we love them, just like we give things to our own families here because we love them. I haven't heard the bell, but the clock says it should have rung by now. So we'll stop there for tonight.